That's Doberman.
The student becomes the teacher. It's Lecture Me.
I have to apologise, Liam. You were here all along.
There you go. I was just hanging out in the lounge doing my usual kind of like returning to the state of just hanging out in the BFM lounge that I was doing for the past 3 years.
I didn't know you were here.
All good.
You're very quiet.
Do my best. How are you going today, Karen?
I'm good, thank you. What about you?
I'm good. It was a very, very early morning for me. I think last night I nearly went to the Drive Island over at the Bear Spot, which all the videos that I looked for that I saw, it looked amazing, but got very, very caught up in being behind on work. So that's a me problem. Apologies to 95 BFM General Manager Tom Tremulant.
Work. Is that an inverted commas? I mean, was that university or you're at AUT, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, was that that kind of work?
Yeah, I was finishing up. I'm currently doing a bunch of paperwork for my final film project. So I'm studying screen production at AUT and in my last semester of that major, so I'm just working on a little documentary at the moment and scrambling to finish all of the paperwork in time for the due date, which is indeed today.
Is it? Have you finished?
Not quite yet, but I think we'll be all right.
Good. What's it about? Are we allowed to know what it's about?
We can
the subject matter
tease it out a bit. It's another little music documentary sort of thing.
Yes.
About a local band. I won't say which one just yet, but it'll be very fun. It's a very, very eclectic group that have been around for a while, so that will be a very fun time.
So, in order to pass, you've got to hand in an actual piece of work.
Yeah.
That's completed. Does it have any duration that you have to do?
About 5 to 7 minutes.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. So, like, oftentimes in if you know people who are doing like film at AUT for some reason, at the moment everyone is just kind of scrambling to be promoting their own short films. If they are doing crowdfunding, they're like pushing it as much as possible. People are starting to film at the moment. So it's like very dynamic in the community at AUT for the film students there, because everyone is kind of panicking and helping out on each other's film sets and having a good time, but a very, very stressful time.
I bet. So, are you an Aucklander?
Yeah. Born and raised in Tāmaki Makaurau.
Where did you grow up?
I was out west. I was in Waitakere, like, probably pretty much as far out west as you could possibly go, I would say, in the bushes, going to Waitakere Primary and Waitakere College.
In the bushes?
Yeah.
All right. That's past Swanson, isn't it?
Yeah,
fully. Little township.
Yeah. It's very cute, though.
Very cute. Yeah. Absolutely great. And so you came to AUT from Waitakere College?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I started, if anyone listening somehow remembers my voice from being present for the last few years, I was doing The Wire back in 2022 and various artists in 2023.
Yes.
And then this year I've just been working over at Auckland University of Technology for the student magazine debate, running the ship there and making sure that everything doesn't fall apart.
Gosh, you are busy.
Very quiet. We make it work.
It's a huge workload. So what was when you were at Waitakere College, what was your focus? I mean, were you good at English? Did you want to get into the visual arts? What is it that drew you to this particular course at to the AUT?
I think it was a particular mixture of, like, I don't know, film and music have always been kind of my main interests, hence it's kind of what brought me to BFM as well as what brought me over to the film program there. Specifically, I started out really wanting to do a lot of work in animation, which I'm no good at drawing, but I'm okay at organizing things. So I've been working on like a little comic zine called Spec and making sure that that's kind of organizing different artists from around Aotearoa and broadcasting their work through a little zine that comes out once or twice a year.
Yes.
And then I was kind of using those skills and being like, well, I'd rather work in animation and sort of long form independent stuff. People who make work like Hayao Miyazaki, with all of the Studio Ghibli films are amazing. Cartoon Saloon is a really amazing studio over in Ireland. Spaces like that make really interesting independently animated short films and feature films. They've gotten quite a few. And I just really like that ability to kind of do whatever you want within film. It's arguably, like, beyond video games, one of the most, like, what's the word? It takes a lot from you to stay focused on a film because you have to listen to it, you have to see it, you have to kind of stay quiet. I mean, it's why people prefer seeing movies in cinemas over just watching it at home where you can get away with being on your phone, because that's how you get the strongest experience, really, and kind of get everything out of it. So, yeah.
Being on your phone?
Ah, like...
No, what do you mean? You
get no, 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 sorry.
In the cinema, you mean?
In the cinema, you're not allowed to be on your phone.
No,
you're forced to zone into the movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so I love the topic of this lecture, and it's about cinematography, obviously, but specifically about the colour palette in Wong Kar-wai's 2000 film In the Mood for Love, and it was part of the... production course Screen Theory in Action. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
So, have you ever seen a Wong Kar-wai film, Karen?
I had a look. I hadn't seen it until I had a look to see what topic you were looking at this morning. The colours are just insane.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah.
He's quite famous, though, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, quite. As far as, like, people from Hong Kong, I would say he's currently the most... well-known filmmaker around those parts. But yeah, Wong Kar-wai has been making films since the early 90s, I think, with all of them having their own little merits and people having their preferences. Like, he's made Full and Angels and Chungking Express and all these amazing ones. The first one that I saw was for the Screen Theory in Action course over at AUT, and that was In the Mood for Love, which is essentially a story of two couples moving in next to each other in a cramped Hong Kong apartment, with one being a journalist whose wife is always away on business and the other being a secretary whose husband is always away on business. And they slowly develop a friendship over the fact that their respective spouses are having an affair with each other. And they take the time to kind of come together and sort of unionize over their shared sorrow, and sort of map out what must have happened between their spouses. And in the midst of rehearsing and pretending to be their spouses, they ended up falling in love with each other, but they don't want to be, when they were also wronged by their spouses, they don't want to do that. They don't want to stoop down to that level, if that makes sense.
Well, it's an emotional affair.
It's quite an emotional affair. It's quite sort of like that vibe of tragic romance where they're kind of cut off from each other based on their own morals, and they could get away with not doing anything, but by the end of the film, I won't spoil it too much, but it's not really what happens.
No, come on, spoil it.
If people, you can turn down your volume for a bit. They do not get together.
Oh, they don't.
And there's clearly some, like, held love for each other that they keep for years and years afterwards. It's almost similar to Call Me By Your Name in that respect. If you saw that, the 2017 one, I forget who the director was, but Timothée Chalamet, Armie Hammer. It's that same thing of the love can only be so fleeting within their certain circumstances.
Okay, so in terms of colour and the colour palette, I'm thinking Yasujirō Ozu, very much a leader in that, and perhaps this is kind of a nod of the hat to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the general colour palettes of the film are mostly focused around a mixture of red for every time that it's kind of focused around the two main characters, which is something that I forgot to mention, is that the spouses that I was talking about before, you never see their faces in the entire film. They're just sort of a presence that's looming over Miss Chow and Mr. Chan. I hope I got their orders right and it wasn't Miss Chow and Mr. Chan. But you only feel their presence through random scenes of dialogue and the protagonist's moments of wishing that just pining and wishing that their spouses could just be loyal, goddammit. It's a mixture between that sort of focus on red, which is arguably one of the main, most evocative colours that's used in the film, because people just see red and think bad, basically, which isn't necessarily always the case. I mean, look at the 95 BFM logo.
Bad, do you reckon? They think bad. Don't they think vibrant?
It's a bit of a mixture, I reckon. It's like... because that's usually seen as the color of, like, if you're wanting to go down the bad route, that's like, that's color of blood and anger and this and that. But it can also be the color of love, which is how it's mostly used within this film, and lust, and sort of like, I would say it's mostly used as pining is the best way to kind of frame it. There are shots where Michelle is completely in a red dress. Many of their diner scenes where they're acting out what was happening between their spouses shot within mostly red spaces. And it's kind of representing that level of what they kind of want to do but know that they can't, I guess. And that's mixed with the more, I guess, for lack of a better term, realistic color schemes that you'll see throughout the rest of the film, which are still vibrant but are definitely more muted of, like, toned down beiges and browns and grays. One of the most seminal themes of the film, when they actually admit to each other that they've fallen in love with each other, there's no red in that scene at all. It's completely gray because they know that they can't really go any further than that without really doing over their own morals, really.
Right. So so from this particular lecture, this part of the course, what have you taken away from that? Have you incorporated that in your own work?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it's been funny going through this course and figuring out where my interests lie within film long term, because it's something that I still really love consuming and creating, but I'm definitely more of a writer these days. I mean, I do writing for Debate. I do gig reviews here every once in a while. So the focus there has really been good in a sense of allowing me to analyze films like that, which is honestly, it's good for when you're making film and when you're trying to establish your own style. I mean, so many people nowadays will use Wong Kar-wai as one of their sort of muses, but also just in the form of analysis, it's just fun. It's a really... it's a sad movie, but it's just a visual feast, really.
Yeah.
And
stunning.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So where you've said you're really more interested in writing, but mm-hmm. you went, how many years is this course? Three years. So from here, are you going to focus more on the writing?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I'm between spaces at the moment of finishing up internships at music industry organizations here in Tamaki Makaurau, and kind of looking next year into other more sort of long-term options like that. So if anyone at Entered On Air is hiring, please bring me.
What do you want to do?
I'm keen on, like, advocacy for music in Aotearoa, because the stuff that's made here is absolutely incredible, yet doesn't always have the strongest pillars of support. BFM does a really good job at boosting indie bands and artists and stuff like that. Same with Independent Music New Zealand, same with Entered On Air with their funding, but there's a lot more that we could do to kind of really support musicians and make sure that making music and touring isn't inherently money-losing venture.
You're preaching to the converted here.
True.
Okay. All right. And you've chosen a track talking about an Aotearoa local artist, although from, do you say Whanganui Atara?
Te Whanganui Atara.
Te Whanganui Atara or Poniki?
Yeah.
Which one do you say?
They're both.
There's a debate, isn't there?
A little bit. I'm quite white, so it's not really my place to talk on it.
Yeah.
I think both sort of function, but yeah. Talking about, the next track we'll be playing is from Dateline, who used to be based up in Tamaki Makaurau and then have kind of taken the shift down to Ponake, as many artists do, to be fair.
Okay, so this is Dateline,
mm-hmm.
and the track you've chosen just come out?
Came out a couple months ago, but the album that it was the lead single for came out just on Thursday. That is, I need to remember what the thing is. It's All Downhill From Here by Dateline, and this is Choose Me.
Hey, thank you very much, Liam. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you so much for having me on.
I hope that what you're handing in today gives you what will you get? Like maybe an A?
We'll see how we go.
Do you get an A or a B or a C or what? Well, how do they? I heard that it's kind of like a numerical system, isn't it?
It's mostly a numerical system. Yeah. It depends. As long as I get a letter, I'll be fine.
You've done it anyway. So have you pressed send?
We'll be doing that in a few hours.
In a few hours,
I'm
okay.
going to run home and scram it out, basically.
Nice. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank
Good
you.
Luck.
That was Lecture Me.